So this caterpillar story that we just read up here is one of the standbys at my house now. Could about go through by memory. But I was struck that this whole the caterpillar's whole entire life is about change, right? Dramatic change from egg to being outside in the world. Dramatic change going from a tiny little caterpillar to one that takes up the whole page. Dramatic change of going into a cocoon, and then, of course, the big finale, dramatic change of coming out as a butterfly. The whole existence of this caterpillar is about tremendous change. And in some ways, that feels kind of familiar to me, because we know something about change, right? Anybody got a little box in their pocket that they use to call their friends and family and to check the news for the day? Yeah, if you've got a phone, you know that change happens rapidly, and about as soon as you learn where all the settings are, it's time for a new one, right? Or if there's an app or a program you use at home or at work, every time the new one comes out, you're in for a surprise, right? Change is our constant. And of course, there are changes that affect us much more profoundly than the changes in technology that we have to deal with. We've got four high school seniors right now at Holly Grove, and I've been talking with some of them this week, and they're starting to envision what life is going to look like for them as they finish up this phase of their education and they step out into the world. It's a big change coming for them. And then, of course, there are those among us who have already had to come to terms with big changes in their bodies, right? We've had a lot of joints and muscles lately not working the way that they used to. Then there are the biggest changes that we're forced into, the change that happens when somebody we love dies and is not here anymore, and we're left to pick up the pieces as best we can. Throughout our lives, change is a constant. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and it's a Sunday about change, the change that the disciples observe on the mountain. Jesus was transfigured before them. Transfiguration is not really a word we use a lot in day-to-day conversation, but the Greek word actually in this case might be more familiar. It's metamorpho, and we've heard that before, right? It's what the little caterpillar did in the storybook. Metamorphosis is the word that comes through from that. It's about drastic change, going into the cocoon as a caterpillar, basically a worm with legs, and coming out a majestic butterfly with the power of flight. That's a big change. Or in the case of Jesus on this mountaintop, it's a drastic change to his appearance. Suddenly, Jesus is transformed somehow, we don't know exactly, but before their eyes, his clothes become dazzling white such as no one on earth could bleach them. Jesus' appearance changes, revealing for a moment the divinity shining through his face. But as impressive as the temporary change in Jesus might be, I would hope that the lasting change from this encounter may be in the disciples who witness it all, in Peter, James, and John, who see all of this happen, and then who literally hear a voice from the clouds, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." That voice, that address, it's not about changing how Jesus behaves, right? But about changing the way the disciples do. Listen to him. Listen to his predictions of betrayal, death, and resurrection that is coming for him. That is to be trusted. Listen when he shows you, when he tells you what kind of Messiah he is. Not a Messiah who sets out to conquer, but one who comes to heal. A Messiah who calls his followers not to arms but to repentance. A Messiah who has great power but who chooses the cross for our sake. A Messiah who in love gives his life and then masters death for us. Listen to him. The path that Jesus calls the disciples to, calls us to, is not an easy one. And it's often not what we want to hear, right? The path of sacrifice, not glory. The path on which we have to lose some of our priorities and our comfort, perhaps in extreme circumstances, maybe even very lives, for the sake of finding true life in Christ. It's an awful lot of change, and it's not something that happens in us overnight. If we're going to change, to move closer to the people that God calls us to be, it takes some work, some practice, right? Which maybe is part of the reason why Transfiguration Sunday, with all of its dramatic change front and center, always falls right before we begin the season of Lent. Lent, which is the time of year that we tell the story of Jesus' journey to the cross, the story of this beloved Son who willingly dies to take away the sin of the world. We tell this dark part of the story, complete with suffering and death, because without death, there can't be any resurrection, right? Without Good Friday, there is no way we can understand what all the fuss is about on Easter morning. And for the church, Lent has always been a time of self-reflection. It's a time built into the church year that's meant to interrupt our day-to-day routines, interrupt our babbling with the Word of the Lord, and to help us get our priorities straight, to hold the mirror up to our spiritual lives and ask where there need to be some changes made. It's an opportunity every Lent for us, through disciplines like intentional prayer, fasting, reading of scriptures. It's an opportunity to open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit, who can work some change in us so that we can become more compatible with the kingdom that God has created in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that even now, before that kingdom comes in its fullness, we can start to be transformed for this new creation that is certain and secured, even if we can't always see it and touch it in the here and now, to start to be transformed for the kingdom where God is at work and where we ought to expect God to show up at any minute to bring in the fullness of God's reign. That's the real world, as much as it might look otherwise. That's the real world where death is not the last word. So how would we act if we could change our perspective so that's the real world that we lived in? That's what shaped our choices and our decisions. What would it mean for how we invest our time and our relationships? How would it change how we invest our treasure? How would it change how we cared for our neighbors here and across the world? We're bold to proclaim that Jesus has died, and that Jesus has been raised, and that means that everything we thought we knew about the world before that has changed. It's all given way to God's kingdom. And if we forget that day to day in our trudging, well, we need opportunities to be interrupted. We need a reminder that everything has changed. And Lent is the perfect season for that. So I hope that you will pick a discipline this Lent that interrupts your routine somehow and reorients you to the reality of God's kingdom. If giving up something does that for you, that's wonderful. Do that. But It may be the case for some of us that you can have your chocolate and your sweets, but that you need to carve out some intentional time for prayer or Bible study to refocus on God's reality. I'm remembering in this very moment that I have some tools for you if you're interested in doing that, some devotionals that sit in the box across the street in the office. So I'll certainly have those out here on Wednesday night, or if you want to pick one up between now and then so you have one for Wednesday, to carve out this time of devotion, of focus on God's reality. But pick something that works for you, and if you don't know what's going to work for you, it's okay. Just try something, and we can call it a holy experiment, and it may yield great results, or it may yield the results that say, next time I need to do something different, right? But do something to try to realign, to try to change your world so that it looks a little more like God's kingdom. Because we do believe and we trust that God is at work to redeem this world and make all things new. That is our reality as the followers of Christ. So take the opportunity this Lent to get a grip on that reality, to interrupt your life and your routine and let your perspective be changed. And when you do, expect to encounter the Lord. Amen.